Welcome to ACC Nation Podcast, Episode 72. The crew, Chris Bond and Tapo, Will Ogen in Minneapolis, and I'm Jim Quist in Richmond. College sports are underway, and if you're a big fan of the ACC, here's some great news to pass along to you from the conference. You are going to have access to live coverage of a league record number of Olympic sporting events this fall, including exhibition contests that, by the way, are underway now. Nearly 450 events are going to be streamed live by the end of November by ACC Network Extra, the dedicated digital channel for the conference, and they're in their second season. The number of events scheduled to be live streamed this fall surpasses the number announced at the outset of fall 2016 by more than 100. That's good news, especially if you're into sports. ESPNU is slated to carry an additional 6 events, and 19 are scheduled to be shown on the ACC's regional sports networks. Every conference fall Olympic sport championship will be shown live on either a linear platform or the streaming ACC Network Extra, beginning with the ACC Cross Country Championships. That's not too far off, actually, October 27th, even though they haven't started. The coverage continues the initial phase of the full ACC Network announced in July 2016 by ESPN and the ACC. Live streaming of Olympic sports is expected to increase annually, and more than 1,500 total events involving at least one ACC school were live streamed during the 2016 through 17 seasons. The events covered by ACC Network Extra are available to you if you have access to watch ESPN and the ESPN app. Wow, lots of stuff. And, you know, it seems like just yesterday that we were talking about streaming and what kind of impact that was going to have, and whether or not it was a smart move to go the streaming route as opposed to the linear route. And it looks like, from based upon everything that I've been reading in trade magazines lately, that the streaming route is the way to go. Seems like all of the major players are jumping on board and going that route. So being on the linear side, maybe not so smart now. We'll see where that goes, right? So if you follow us on Twitter at ACC Nation, you may have noticed a rather gleeful, I could tell that neither one of you had anything worth throwing in there at all, since you were just...
Well, actually, no, I actually did have something to say to that, because...
You were sleeping. You were sleeping on the sidelines there, and I kept waiting and waiting.
I had something to say, too. I was trying to wake him up. Come on, get up. Time to
all right, well, reported. Go ahead, Will. Let me get a drink in here edgewise.
Or something to get through this. No, I think it really, streaming really is the thing now. I mean, when you look at it, I mean, especially if you're on the road, you're traveling, you want to watch a game, it's especially if you're in my neck of the woods, mm-hmm. if you want to watch Virginia football, there's really no way if you're, you know, traveling.
Yeah.
You know, you can't carry a 40-inch TV with you and watch it in the back seat of your car or whatever.
Well,
that's where the iPad comes in handy, or even your phone. You could log into the Watch ESPN app and you can watch whatever game on your phone. And, you know, we just mentioned things are underway, and, you know, women's soccer just kicked off
right
just late last week, and, you know, you coming up this week, you know, they get back, you know, underway Thursday, and, you know, you got Coastal Carolina and NC State and South Carolina, you know, against Wake Forest, you know, in women's soccer are available on the ACC Network Extra app. So there you go. You got, you know, plenty of additional options. And then as more and more get started, you'll have that inventory, especially that Friday when field hockey gets underway and men's soccer too. You're going to have a lot of inventory and plenty of games to watch.
So, Will, you think that having a 40-inch TV in the back seat of your van or your, you know, SUV or whatever is a little unusual. I can tell you right now that Chris and I have a common friend that would not be the least of the weird stuff that goes on in his back seat.
That's the beginning of it.
And we won't go into it either. So anyway, Chris,
it's only taken a matter of moments for this podcast to go off the rails.
that's usually about right.
As usual, it's up to me to be the nice guy and reel this back in.
Well, there goes the tea. There goes the tea all over the place. It's a good thing I was looking in the opposite direction rather than my board and my, well, my computer is partially wet now.
That sounds like your problem more than mine.
Well, yeah, quite literally.
But, yeah, streaming is where we've been headed actually for a little while. And the ACC was wise to expand that to that there more so than the linear because, you know, more and more people are getting their media on the go. And it has been that way for really the last decade as smartphones have come out and made media more accessible through apps and their browsing. Yeah, I don't think TV from home will ever go away, but more and more people are on the go. And they want to stay on top of their news, their politics, and in our case, sports, to stay in the game. It's not about being ahead of the game anymore. To stay in the game, if you're in the media market, getting into the streaming is really mandatory.
Well, thank you for that that lengthy piece there, because that allowed me to clean up. I have now wiped.
Hey, do you still have some more cleaning up? Because we can keep going.
Well, I'm sure you
can.
Yes,
we're full of hot air. We can definitely
not a
keep
problem.
On.
Well, like the awesome thing too, you know, we mentioned being on the road and stuff. You know, if you have your streaming device at home, like I have a Roku, you know, down here at the Twin Cities ACC Nation offices. You know, if I want to watch something, I can flip over to the Roku and watch a game there.
Excellent.
How often do you have to feed that Roku?
It's just not see, you thought it would have gone off the rails earlier. It's really going far now.
You the Ozzy Osbourne.
No. The okay. Prince of Bloody Darkness.
Oh, man.
The whole Roku I think is really cool, because you know, you have the options of watching your newscasts from all over the country. Like I have Charlottesville TV station. I know one of the people who does the newscast there, who mm-hmm. actually we have a mutual friend, you know, we found out later, but like I'll watch the news just, you know, to see what's going on, you know, out that way.
Not much. I'm just saying.
In my case, the weekends I'm rarely home, and
yeah,
you know, football season's coming up, and you know, it's how am I going to stay on top of the action? Well, I carry around my iPhone, and I'm constantly being seen catching up on Virginia game or Syracuse or trying to stay up on these teams here. And mm-hmm. It's streaming is the only way to go now.
Really is. It's very helpful. As I'd started on this route, if you follow us on Twitter at ACC Nation, you may have noticed the rather gleeful Chris Bond exiting Cigar City Brewing. We had a picture that we posted of that. We'll find out what makes Bond tick here in just a few minutes, in case you haven't already figured it out. We'll talk about it a little later in the podcast and sort of update everybody on the consumption, both in Florida and in Minneapolis. The Atlantic Coast Conference had five quarterbacks selected to the 2017 preseason watch list for the Manning Award. They include Lamar Jackson, Eric Dungy, Ryan Finley, which kind of surprised me a little bit, DeAndre Francois, and Daniel Jones. You know, did anybody else kind of scratch their head a little bit over Ryan?
I think they just automatically put everyone in who's actually a returning starter this year. Mm. I think every one of those are the only returning starters that I can think of off the top of my head.
Wait a minute. Aren't you a Virginia fan?
Oh, yeah. Bankert. I forgot about Bankert.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
So that just dismissed that whole theory.
I had him penciled in too, Will. Don't worry.
Well,
it was probably an oversight on their behalf.
It must have been.
Minor.
Must have been. Well, it's interesting that ACC quarterbacks have captured the Manning Award four times in 13 seasons, including Matt Ryan out of Boston College back in 2007. And this guy that I don't even know who this fella is. I think he plays for some team, Buccaneers or something like that. Jameis Winston in 2013.
Yeah, he's okay.
Yeah, yeah, he's all right. He's
Heisman Trophy national title.
Yeah, yeah.
He didn't do much.
Yeah, that's just one of those one of those guys.
But, well, you know, that's not poo-poo the list totally here. I mean, we know Jackson's capabilities, and certainly we expect Dungy to throw up a lot of big numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Finley is capable of it, but Francois is the one that we're really seeing that we're expecting to take a jump this year.
Yep.
Yeah. So those, you know, between really Francois, Jackson, and Dungy, those are the ones we're expecting some big production this year. Other guys are going to really have to step up because they're the replacement group that we had last year, and Watson and Kaya, and it's just there is a definite drop off here. So beyond those top three we got coming back, it's going to be interesting to see who gets a shining star.
Isn't it crazy though that Lamar Jackson is just really not getting all that much respect coming into this season?
Hardly any.
He just won the Heisman Trophy and he's now just an afterthought.
Yeah,
because people remember the last five games and then people remember the last
weren't all his
of
fault.
The
no, not,
they weren't.
Not by
no,
the
they
stretch.
Weren't all his fault. He's trying to run for his life.
Literally,
and he was probably over. He probably was overworked in the early part of the year too. But
agree there,
they ran him too much. Yep. Yeah, yep. Absolutely.
But yeah, I agree. Like it's really between, and it's really to me just Jackson and Francois. If he takes that big step forward in year two, that mm-hmm. we think he will. Yeah, Dungy, he's gonna put up numbers in that Dino Babers offense, but I just don't know. You know if. He's probably not going to have much of a chance just because of, you know, the team he plays for, and they probably won't be that great again this year.
Well,
his defense is his greatest enemy, actually.
Exactly. When you run that fast-paced offense like that, your defense is going to be on the field a lot, and that really can really hinder you. The thing about Ryan Finley, you know, he was a very high percentage completion passer. I mean, I've mentioned it before. You know, he was for a lot of the last year number one in the ACC in completion percentage, and he eventually got overtaken by Mitchell Trubisky. But you know, he's a good quarterback. I mean, Daniel Jones, yeah, the other one we mentioned, I've been very high on him.
I've said
in recent podcasts, I think he's going to have a monster season for Duke, and you know, I think he, you know, he will be one. I think he'll be a more valid candidate next year.
Well, see, this is why you guys took forever to get to that, Will. I was surprised because, you know, you're talking about everybody else, and Daniel Jones has been kind of left out of the conversation up until just now.
Well,
and I think he's going to be one of those guys that is really flying under the radar. And look at who he's got as a coach, quarterback whisperer.
Duke is not a football school. I mean, they're big enough. I think they're really big in other sports, especially like lacrosse.
Yeah, lacrosse. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they're really big in lacrosse.
Yeah.
Well, let's throw this.
Hey, women's basketball too, right? Right, guys?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
There's right. That basketball thing. Yes.
Mm-hmm. that Krzyzewski guy.
Yeah, yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, go ahead.
Crazy goose.
Spell it, Will. Come on, spell it, Will. Spell it.
Let's see. It starts with a K and has some Z's.
It's
got to be like K-R-Z-Y-Z.
It looks like crazy.
That effect.
Crazy Kooski is what it looks like.
If you don't use 27 consonants, you're not doing it right. But,
that's right.
Multiple Z's.
You know, but, you know, back to... You
Cheers,
know,
Coach K.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, but, you know, back to Daniel Jones. Up until a week ago, Duke was the only school in their division that had their quarterback set. That was it. I mean, Virginia Tech just named Jackson their starter last week. But, you know, they knew who they're going to start starting man in their center. Was anybody picking them to win the division? We're still not. But
no.
I think there's a good reason to keep an eye on Daniel Jones this year. I think
you better.
Yeah, and this is the thing about Jones that I don't think a lot of people realize is, yeah, he threw 9 interceptions last year, threw 5 of them in the one game against Virginia, and he threw 8 of those 9 interceptions in the first 5 weeks of the season.
Yep, yep.
He threw 1 the last 7 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey, you know what?
That was against Georgia Tech, but... You know, he has a 69 touchdown interception ratio for a freshman and just under 3,000 yards. That was, you know, amazing. And, you know, he had that one game as well in the Hurricane where he only threw for 41 yards against Army.
Well, look at this. I mean, it's Cutcliffe was helping to clean up his game, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And as I've said before, if there's any conference with three great quarterback coaches, with Petrino, Cutcliffe, and Jimbo Fisher, let them step forward. If they've got more than three guys like that, and it's no accident that three of these guys we're talking about are their quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we kind of failed to mention the fact that last year's winner of the Manning Award was also the this guy that kind of went on and won a national championship, and he won it two years in a row.
Probably be starting for the Texans week one.
Yeah, and he's the first player to ever win it twice, two times in a row. So
that, only once in a generational player for a school. That's pretty much it. Yeah. Yeah.
Deshaun Watson, let's overlook it. It's interesting that he's going to be starting. I hope that he does well, but I hate the fact that any team is rushed into pushing somebody into a situation that they might not be able to handle. I hope he's good. I haven't been able to keep up with Houston in the preseason.
I've watched a little bit of their preseason action, and let's just say he's already the best quarterback on the roster.
Very good. That's a good thing, because he's basically the only one.
Yeah, that's kind of the point there.
Yeah. All right, guys. Today, the Associated Press presented us with a preseason top 25. I'm not sure that the schools from the ACC were too far off from the Amway preseason coaches poll released a few weeks ago, but we've got all that right here in front of us, so we're going to talk a little bit about it. Let's talk a little bit first about the teams from the ACC. Let's see if the writers and the coaches are in sync. Or, as my pre-show note says here, are the writers being lazy? And you know what that is inferring. We're going to, number three, Florida State, number five, Clemson. Yeah, I think we've talked about that pretty extensively. So let's roll on down the line here on the AP preseason top 25, which, by the way, you can see more of this at accnation.net. Louisville at number 17, Miami at 18, Virginia Tech at 22. Now, those are the five teams from the Atlantic Coast Conference that are ranked. The ACC has two teams, I must note this, in the top five, and that is the case on both sides, if I'm not mistaken. And that...
Yep. 3 and 5, yep.
Yep, that would be... pretty strong case for the ACC having taking over the reins, let's put it that way. And if Florida State knocks off Alabama in that first game, I don't see Alabama falling unless they really get smacked. I don't see them falling out of the top five. But
no.
If they get smacked and it's an embarrassment, they will tumble out of the top five based upon what I'm looking at. So let's see.
If Florida State beats them and Alabama falls out of the top five, then Paul Feinbaum's show's gonna be a lot of fun to listen to. That
he's gonna have record ratings.
First place we're going. First place we're going. In fact, that we're gonna be on the hold for calls into the show.
Nick Saban's washed up, Paul.
Well, that's the irony. Is he's probably more than anybody cheering for Florida State, a guy who picks on him on a daily basis, you know? Mm. He's probably, because it'll raise his ratings like nothing else.
Oh, yeah. So, six over in the Amway, it's Louisville at 16, Miami at 18, just to refresh people's memory here, and 21 for Virginia Tech. So we're really not too far off between the two. Are the coaches hitting this on the head in the Amway coaches poll, and are the writers being lazy in the AP, or do you think they're both they both know what they're talking about?
Well, in writing they call it plagiarism.
Yeah,
stealing the guy's idea, yeah. Just pasting it on there and calling it your own.
Yeah,
that looks a lot like it to me.
Pretty close.
But besides that, one thing you can point out in the top five in the big picture is there are four active coaches with national titles.
Mm-hmm.
They're all in the top five. That's no accident. Yeah, that's no accident. And including the new guy, Dabo Sweeney, who's at number five, and he's new to club, which, by the way, Dabo, new guy brings beer. Jimbo likes Florida Cracker from Cigar City, just to let you know.
Florida Cracker. Nice.
Yeah, it's a nice Belgian white ale. Good for drinking in the summertime. 5.7 ABV. But any case, getting back to football. But
I mean, they go hand in hand, beer and football. Yeah.
Well, or both hands. You know, that's keep a balanced diet there, Will.
Of course.
But yeah, this looks like just somebody just cut and paste. I'm looking at both polls here, and just maybe throw a couple teams to different swats, mix them up a little bit, just so nobody notices, unless it's some podcast out there covering the ACC, probably. It looks about the same. And at this point, really a lot of the polls are looking about the same guys, and I'm with most of the fans out there. I'm just ready to get this thing going.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You're not getting enough pro action?
Oh, boy. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Those guys are quitting after the first quarter right now.
quite literally. Well, all right. Will, you have anything to throw in there with the ACC teams at least?
Yeah, it feels like a carbon copy of what we're talking about when the Amway coaches poll came out in the preseason a few weeks back. It felt like it was literally the same thing. So I remember Florida State at 3, Clemson 5, and everyone else, in the middle of the poll, and then Virginia Tech bringing up the rear. And like I said, I think I've been very high on Virginia Tech. I think they'll be a lot higher eventually. I think to start they're fine, but I think they're going to be a team to watch, obviously. But I like Chris say, I think we're kind of tired of talking about these polls. I think we're ready for the action.
The one difference that I see, talking about Virginia Tech, is that Virginia Tech in the Amway coaches poll, the coaches have got the Hokies one ranking ahead of the Mountaineers, and that is the opposite on the AP. It's actually two difference. The Mountaineers are at number 20, number 20, and Virginia Tech at number 22. So this is going to be an interesting matchup for these two teams as well. This is another one of those huge games to kick off the season. It's going to be at FedEx Field where the Redskins play. That just doomed both teams, unfortunately.
And, yeah, somebody's got to win that game, Jim.
As long as Daniel Snyder is not there, then both of them are safe. But let's go in here and look here for just a moment at this AP poll. And well, I'll tell you what, before we go there, the receiving votes section. In the coaches poll, the thing that stood out to me in the Amway coaches poll the last time when we were talking about this were the teams that were in the receiving votes section. And that included Notre Dame, NC State, Pitt, and then we got a little bit further in there and started having some other teams that were showing up. And Syracuse was one of them that was talked about. But in the AP, we have just a little bit different there. We don't go that deep like we did with the other one. Okay? So with the receiving votes on the AP side, Notre Dame comes in at a pretty decent place, and so does Pitt and North Carolina State. Georgia Tech is in the mix. There's quite a few teams that are receiving votes, okay? And I'm not sure that all of them really belong in there, and I'm glad to see that Syracuse is not in this one mix here, but... Yeah.
Georgia Tech was in the one, but obviously since then they got the news that Dedrick Mills was, kicked off the team for violating team rules, and that's going to be a huge blow to them.
Yeah, that was already a little bit of a stretch for me before Dedrick Mills was off the team. Mm-hmm. You lose your leading rusher coming into your opener against Tennessee. Certainly, people have been writing up Paul Johnson's resignation letter for them at some point. But when they do that, he seems to come around with an 8-4, 10-2 season sometimes.
Yeah, that was the case last year. Because remember, when they had the bad year last year, and people were ready to throw him in the hot seat, me included. He responded real nice season.
It is not wise to write him off. That said, losing Deidre Mills is really going to make it an uphill battle for them with a whole new backfield.
Indeed. And again, going back to the Amway coaches poll, I've kind of got them flip-flopped here, so excuse me for sending that along to you backwards. But, again, the receiving votes section for the AP, Notre Dame, NC State, Pitt. On the other one, we had the coaches definitely throwing a little bit of extra out there because they had North Carolina and Syracuse also lined up in there along with Georgia Tech. And it's just sort of a head scratcher, but it's, you know, one vote here, one vote there. Syracuse ended up with 3 votes in the receiving vote section of the Amway coaches poll. It doesn't mean a whole lot. I don't know where those 3 votes are coming from, but, unless somebody within the ACC knows something that 99% of everybody else doesn't. Staggers me. I really wonder why they picked up 3 votes. So, and not to be discouraging or not to, you know, be throwing shade on the orange, but I just don't see it.
They're going to be a better team than they were last year.
I don't think there's any argument there.
But that schedule is just after week 3, it's brutal. I mean, with Florida State and Clemson, and you have LSU in the non-conference schedule. I mean, that's too big of a meal for a young team like that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think they're going to come along and do fairly well, and they'll have a nice showing. It won't be. I don't think you should expect any kind of blowouts against Syracuse this year.
As long as Dungy's healthy, they'll be in every game.
Yeah.
But it's just their defense just won't be able to get them the stops they need, especially later in the games.
Yeah. The North Carolina being in there, I don't see that either. But
that's a lot of skill positions are resetting at. Yeah, that's tough call to make.
Yeah, losing your quarterback, your top 2 rushers, your top 2 receivers.
Switzer is a big loss.
Yeah, Switzer was an absolute beast. You know, not only as a receiver, but on special teams too.
They're going to miss him in so many aspects. It's not even funny.
Yeah. Yeah, good guy when he was playing the game for the Tar Heels. A lot of fun to watch, for sure. All right, let's slide into kind of a follow-up story to the poll. And I'll just give you a little bit of a disclaimer here, because this is what they give. The goal of the AP preseason top 25 is not necessarily to predict the outcome of the season, as much as it is to give a snapshot of consensus heading into it. The voters take an educated guess. That's interesting that they would say that. And then go where results take them. It kind of threw me off a little bit when I first read that, because you don't typically hear people admitting to it. Mm-hmm. It's always been, well, when somebody challenges the votes, people, you know, get defensive. Oh, you know, we know more than you do. And, well, in today's world where you have access to all kinds of stats and information, probably more so, there are people that make comments, post comments on a regular basis on for schools and for pro teams, that I'm staggered by how much information they have at their fingertips and what they know. Mm-hmm. And often the people who are not writing for a living actually have a better idea of what's going on.
Well, everybody's got the internet in their pocket now. So
very true.
All they have to do is sit down in a few minutes to find something out, and they can find some reliable sources. you can get a lot of information in just a few minutes.
Let's go a little bit further into this. Comparing the preseason poll, the final rankings in previous years can give some idea of how much change to expect. The AP analyzed the last 10 seasons of polls. We're not going to go through all of this, but they looked at 2007 through 16 and compared the preseason rankings with a final top 25. This is something that, if you are interested, you should look up collegefootball.com, the AP site, and read the story, because it is absolutely fascinating. We're going to go down through some of these and talk a little bit. You guys got that up on your screens right now?
Yeah.
Okay, so that first part, let's go ahead and jump with Will here and talk about that that first grouping of information, and then we'll start breaking it down a little bit and talking about how it impacts teams.
Yeah, and that that standard since 2007, you know, through last year, all but one team that was ranked number one in the preseason finished the season ranked, the lone exception being the USC team in 2012 that completely went in the tank. Which, every team that was ranked number two in the preseason has finished the season ranked. If you're a preseason ranked number three, 90% of the time you finished ranked, the only exception being Oklahoma 2009. At number four and number five, 80% of those teams that were ranked in the preseason finished that season ranked.
The interesting thing here that I want to point out, they're saying that they finished the season ranked. Now, that's really not that big of a thing to be yelling and screaming about, look at us, look at us. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is from the standpoint of, look, if I picked Alabama as number one, and they finished the season ranked in the top 25. Well, okay. Good for me. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So the percentages being as high as they are, I mean, that's okay. I mean, I'm okay with that. You know, let's start going down here a little bit. Where I found it interesting was number 13. The teams that are ranked at number 13. This is, you know, and you may not have any sort of phobias, but...
lucky number 13, yeah, that's...
30% finished the season ranked. Now...
Looking at you, LSU.
You, yeah, I was going to say, wow. Bayou Bengals. I would be very nervous right now.
And you know what? And that's the one team that all of us said, no, not happening. You don't get the same thing until you drop down to number 18, where it's the same percentage. So,
oh, Miami.
And what have we been saying about Miami?
Well,
so statistically, this is a good sample, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, 10-year sample, and then look at number 21. 60% of those teams have finished the season ranked. Look who's number 21.
Yep.
Virginia Tech.
Yep.
And that's that jumps up quite a bit.
For a team that deep in the poll to be finish the season that very high means they're usually the coach, they're way off on that team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look, Louisville's like that.
I felt they've been way up. People have been way off about Virginia Tech this year. So.
Well, look, I mean, just above Miami at 17, 40%. Are we thinking Louisville might not finish ranked?
Maybe that's the enthusiasm factor that we're talking about here. Maybe it's not so much about Lamar Jackson. Maybe it's the team.
16 and 17 are both at 40%, but I like Louisville's chances to finish the season ranked a lot more. I figured you were going to mention 17, Chris, because of who that is and, you know, that other in-state rival.
They don't get play here. No. You guys can talk about them all you want, but it's
staggered right through that one. They don't get play here.
No.
All right.
You know, I'm going to say, ironically, you look at, we were just talking about LSU right before Miami. I was going to say, at least Miami is Mark Walton. Fournette was really the offense, period, for LSU.
Yeah.
And now he's making his hay in Jacksonville on Sundays.
I'm sorry.
well.
yeah, well, yeah, that's a good talent, but there's just certain teams you get signed with and your career's already over.
Yeah,
but
boy, that's rough.
Which is a shame, really, but...
yeah. Yeah, you know, Cleveland, Chicago. Anyway, but in any case, at least Miami is Mark Walton. For whoever they've got under center, they're going to have a really good running back to hand off to first and second down.
Mm-hmm.
But these numbers, they're fun to look at, and it's very rare to see a team come from the back end. An exception to that I witnessed where I was living at the time in Oklahoma was the 2000 Oklahoma team that started out unranked and won the national title. You will not see that's once in a 50-year span you'll see that. The teams with stacked talent, if they falter, they don't fall that far. They're still going to end up in the rankings. They don't live up to expectations, but their rosters are still stacked with talent and they're ranked high for a reason. But it is fun to see right in the middle, these gaps right in the middle. You know, interesting number 13 and number 17 as we're talking about here. And it'll be fun to come back and look at this when the season's over. Something we should probably do that when we look back on 2017 season.
I think probably after the first week we'll go back and look.
Because you're patient.
Mr. Optimist here. All right. Hey, let's talk a little bit about why Chris Bond was doing a skip out of Cigar City Brewing.
Skipping? Yes, who told you I was skipping?
Man, you look like a kid in a candy store coming out of that place, you know?
Well, that's more accurate. Yeah, that's far.
What? Tell us a little bit about your adventure there and what you picked up.
Well, for one month a year, Cigar City has a limited edition Russian Imperial Stout of 13% ABV. It's known as the Marshal Zhukov, which is named after the Russian general who saved Russians and eventually took Berlin. And sadly, was eventually just stowed away in an apartment by Stalin after that because he was too popular with the people. But he does live on in this beer and. It's a rich, bold beer that's a lot of people here wait for months for it to come back around. But it kicked off with a weekend with what's called the Imperial Brunch, and me and somebody dear to me were there, taking in the brunch, and we got to walk out with two bottles full of Marshal Zhukov, which may or may not still be in the kitchen. I'm not sure.
Well, if you've been anywhere near it for more than a day. Dubious.
No, they're still full in the kitchen. They it's actually because the stouts keep well for a long time. It's something you keep for a special occasion.
Mm-hmm.
It's really that good. And maybe when one of my business partners come visit the ACC Nation branch down in Tampa, maybe I'll save them a bottle.
Will is already on the plane. Oh, goodness.
Oh, I got it. Someone just sent me their itinerary. What is this?
Uh-huh. I thought so. All right.
Jannon?
Yeah. Well, let's check in with the guys here real quick for some final thoughts. And, Chris, since we're with you and you're thinking about Brewski, we'll see what else is on your mind.
Well, actually, this podcast was powered by a pint of Cigar City Florida Cracker of Belgian white ale that I mentioned earlier, and it's thoroughly enjoyable, easy to drink on a hot evening, which we have a few more of those than, say, in Will's parts. It's a big seller down here, and waiting on football season to come around. Every Saturday I'm getting up and looking to TV and just a big sigh, you know.
Well, let's check out, as you so aptly put it, Will's parts, and see what's going on with Final
in
Thoughts.
In Minnesota,
there.
Too.
Yeah, that too. What's going on your way, Will?
I mean, for me, tonight's podcast was fueled by a glass of chocolate milk. I'm on the other end of the spectrum from you, Chris.
He's a growing boy.
And growing. Just kidding. No, I want to just give an early happy first birthday to my favorite brewing company, Bald Man. They are celebrating their first birthday this upcoming weekend. unfortunately, because I will be in Iowa at a wedding, I will be unable to attend. But you know, I've been to the brewery for 51 of the 52 weeks it's been open, and obviously have really enjoy their time there. My beloved wife and I, you know, make our weekly visits and always have a great time with the people, and the staff there obviously are absolutely awesome. We've gotten to know them over the year they've been opened, and yeah, really excited for all their success. But on the sports side, you know, even though we don't have ACC football for another week and a half, we do actually have actual college football coming up this weekend. We have some games that are going to actually kick off the season. Like I said, not ACC related, but we do have college football. I know, I believe there are some Pac-12 teams that are in action. I now don't have the schedule in front of me, but I know there are some games coming up.
He brings it up, he dangles it in front of us, and then he won't tell us about it.
Yes. Well, the first ranked team to play is South Florida. They open up against San Jose State, Stanford as well, yeah, against Rice. But yeah, the actual first game is Oregon State against Colorado State, which will be that should be an interesting game.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hey, you're going to in Iowa. That's interesting. You may want to pack something because they may, because I'm not, they will be serving anything besides corn when you get there.
Oh.
Yeah, well, hopefully I can find some decent Iowa beer for the trip for the trip back home.
Sweet corn liquor.
Hey, if you're in Des Moines, and I've been there, look for a place called the Roadhouse. They brew their own. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sounds interesting.
I'll be at Mason or near Mason City. I know they have a couple of breweries right in town there. Mm-hmm. I've been to one of them.
That they do.
Excellent. Expect a full report, young man.
Exactly. That's what we're waiting for. I guess we'll update everybody next week. So, for Chris Bond and Will Ogenen, I'm Jim Quist.
Skol Slánja.